Bob Nation.
Let's go.
Let's go. Welcome into the Toyota Lounge, driven by your Front Range Toyota stores. Toyota, the official vehicle of DMVR. It's DMVR Buffs primetime / the pregame show to start off today. We're presented by Illegal Pete's. Unk is back. We're going to hit Saturday's scrimmage. Got some recruiting and portal stuff. A lot to get into today, actually. What is up, Unk? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I am feeling great. Great to be here with the brothers again. And with improved knowledge, not just from the scrimmage, but this is the first week where I go into a week knowing what the hell the Front Range is, thanks to RK last week.
I don't know. The listeners would say that I was wrong about that. Do we need to go into this?
This is on you, bro.
The Front Range is referring to the front range of the mountains.
Yes.
That is the front of the range. Yeah. The Front Range area is the areas that back up to the front range of the mountains. I feel like that's pretty simple.
Hey, I'm going with your definition, man. I didn't know, and one thing I don't do and I don't know is challenge the person who told me something. So Front Range means what the hell RK said it means.
Thank you.
It's official. We figured it out, guys. All right, Unc, Saturday seemed like a ton of fun, man. Seemed like a beautiful day up there. Just watching the well-off and everything, the team looks really good. What can you share? What'd you see?
Saw that, man. First of all, shout out to the weather gods. What a perfect day to be outside for football. Not too hot, not too cold, no humidity. Sun was out. Weather was perfect, man. Just enough to get a sweat, but not enough, nearly nowhere near shivering. I thought the guys looked good. I thought they were moving around. I love the energy from the coaches, from the players. You got to see some players who really, you know, were able to show what they were doing. Amarian Miller had a good day. Micah in the running game was there. All three of the backs who got some reps, you know, were doing great. I thought it was a great scrimmage, man. Arrow is certainly pointing up.
Love it. Let's just start with Amarian Miller then, because
wait. Before we get into that,
okay,
I have two things. One, Unc, I've got to apologize for my friend here. He still doesn't quite get etiquette and pleasantries. I gotta tell someone about this. So yesterday, our great friend Uncle Neely hits us with a text, such a pleasant and wonderful offering. He says, hey, if you guys have a show tomorrow, I'd love to hop on, talk about the scrimmage. Like, that's amazing stuff. Thanks so much, Unc. Here's how Jake responds. And you need to know that he says, if you have a show and want me to hop on, just let me know. So an offer, but also needs a response back like, we would love that. This is what Jake says. Sounds good. We can do that. 1:30 work. It's not like he was asking a favor. He was offering something. Not sounds good. We can do that. It's, damn, thanks, Unc. Really appreciate that. We would love to have you on.
Oh, my God.
Now, that did happen. I can verify you were reading that text message word for word verbatim. But, Jake, I didn't take it in Jake voice. I took it in partnership voice. You know, we're boys, we're guys. You were just cutting to the chase. I didn't read it in angry Jake. Now, you may have, you know, verbalized it angrily, but I didn't read it in Jake voice.
It wasn't anger, bro.
It wasn't anger. It's just you got to put a little more spice in the mix so people know that you're happy and excited and thankful for what they're offering you.
One
change, RK. He's got plenty of spice. He needs to put some sugar in the mix.
Yeah, there you go. That's true. You got to put some sugar on it.
I'm just trying to, you know, he asked a question, I answered it. That's all I saw it as.
I said, hell yeah, sounds awesome either way, Unc. Thank you.
Yeah, you were excited, RK. Jake was like, whatever.
He's my guy, though. Come on.
I'm just saying. All right. And then also, before we get into the full, like, individual scrimmage talk, I would love to hear just kind of the setup of the scrimmage and the format.
All right, sure. Yeah, so it started off as a regular practice, you know, doing some individual drills with the units, the stretch lines with Coach Mo, breaking it down with Coach Prime, establishing a tone for the day, which he let Coach Mooch, Steve Mariucci, do that part. And then, you know, defense was on one sideline, offense was on the other sideline, and you had a script of plays, a stack of plays, if you will, for the ones and twos, and then you just go at it. And the officials were out there calling the game. So I had game tempo. Of course, there's going to be some stoppages of play from the head coach being Coach Prime when he sees something he doesn't like. And he was chastising coaches just as much as players. Like, he's the head coach. So when something's not flowing like it should be, he may call the defensive coaches up or the offensive coaches up. So you had some stoppages like that. But as far as full speed, full contact, everybody got hit except the quarterback.
Love it. And how many plays do you think, ish?
Oh, man. Let's go 80. I think we probably were under 100.
Okay, great. All right, now we can get into the individual notes.
I love it. Hey, Jake, I love you, Jake. We're good.
I know we are, and I love you too, man. I don't know why my text messages are interpreted by some people as not out of love.
Jake, I just feel like we could get like a group text from Coach Prime being like, hey, I would love to come on the show, and you would respond, okay, sounds good.
Yeah, he would. He would. It's one of these situations. Both of y'all are right. RK, you're right. He needed some sugar to spice the text. But Jake, because I know you love you and understand you, I didn't take it the wrong way.
Thank you.
I believe that.
You responded like you were driving.
I was busy yesterday, yes. I was very productive yesterday, too.
Hell yeah, love to hear it.
Omari Miller, you kind of started off camp as the guy. Micah Welsh kind of, you know, took that a bit as spring practices progressed. But Omari Miller, just some of the catches he was putting up on Saturday were crazy. How do you project he fits in this wide receiver room at this point?
Man, it's going to be interesting. He's fitting very well right now. But I want to see how he fits when the other guys get here, you know, Memorial Day weekend, and we get into fall camp in August. Because when you look at experience-wise and you look at measurables, they're quote-unquote better than he is. And I'm doing those air quotes. They're supposed to be better than he is. But right now, he has earned that spot. Man, he is catching whatever comes his way. He's running his routes. His communication with Shadur between plays or when the ones were off the field can't get any better. I think that, you know, right now, man, he's in a perfect position to match what you wanted him to do on your draft when you said, give me 200 plus yards from Miller one day. I think the rub is going to be is that this wide receiver room is not the wide receiver room we're going to have in August. You know, we got some straight up dogs that are coming in, and I don't think anybody's going to concede anything.
Yeah, I think the important thing to keep in mind here is you can never have too many good wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It's not as if, you know, this obviously wouldn't happen with Shador, but just because it's a one person position, if the QB2 was all of a sudden looking incredible, a la Russell Wilson when he went to Seattle, yep, and was looking better than Matt Flynn, who they just paid $15 million a year, which was a lot back then. Like, that would be a big story of like, uh-oh, only one of these guys can be on the field. Someone's going to have to win this, and it's very binary. Mm-hmm. It's either you or you win. With O and, you know, Will Shepard, who's coming in, and all of the other guys in there, it doesn't have to be binary. The more that you have at the position, the better. Now, obviously, wide receivers, they want catches. They want playing time. They want to be out there. And that's always going to be something that has to be balanced by the, you know, the play caller and the quarterback. But in general, it's not a thing where you have to choose one of Will Shepard and Omari Miller. And you would love to have the option of both guys being absolute beasts.
Man, RK, it's like if you would have given me a day or two to write a speech to just sum it up, I would have wrote exactly what you just said. That is perfect world scenario. That's what you would want in college football, and not just with the wide receiver position, with any room that requires depth. Cornerback requires depth. Offensive line requires depth. Defensive line requires depth. But here's the challenge in the 2024 college football. People don't want depth. People want their reps. People want their opportunity. They want to be the guy. And I'm not knocking anybody who thinks that. And I'm not saying that that's what Omari Miller is thinking. I'm just talking about the lay of the land in college football. So you have to measure, you know, who's on the field the most. And if a guy really feels he's going to be that guy, and how does he react to that? You know, there's just this layer of college football now that if I'm not listed as one of the ones, I don't like it. And that's just industry-wide. Again, that's not labeled on one player here or the program here. That's just the nature of college football. You see it all the time with offensive linemen who want to transfer. I think the way offensive lines work are just the way you just described. You're going to get to play, whether you're listed as a two or not, by by the time the season ends, you would have been on the field just as much as somebody listed as a one. Just too bad that it's not managed that way from a player standpoint.
Absolutely. And the transfer portal has messed up so much of this. But in the pre-transfer portal days, this would be a perfect scenario. You've got a senior, super experienced veteran who's very talented that you love, as well as a young, you know, a young guy coming up behind him that you're like, oh, he's the heir here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's already ready to go right now. And, you know, as soon, whatever, even if it's he wins this year and plays more, or as soon as this guy's out, he's ready to step in. Like, that's how it used to be. That's how you build rosters. And everyone thinks that, you know, this team, because it's transfer heavy, has no class balance. Well, this is a perfect example of a place where you do have class balance and class talent.
I mean, all of what you guys said, but for me, I just feel like, you know, Amari Miller, he's now had a full year to work with Shador in this offense. He's built up some chemistry. The catches and the plays he makes are just ridiculous, really. But there is a lot of talent coming in. I just don't know how you keep O off the field at this point, though.
Yeah, I don't either. It just depends on how that talent comes in, that comes in, how it performs. You know, when you get into August ball and it's the second week of August and you're truly installing, you know, for that season opener against North Dakota State, that you're going to see things emerge one way or the other. I agree with, you know, all the points that are being made, man. You just hope that a guy will just understand your shots are there. The best players are going to see the field. You know, Coach Prime does not believe anything unless he sees it at practice. And what Miller is showing at practice, what he just showed at the scrimmage, he's the guy, man.
Let's go to the trenches, man.
Oh, and by the way, yes, absolutely a catch from O on the sideline.
Yeah.
In fact, an NFL catch.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not forget we're playing college rules. He only needs 1 foot.
But he got both.
He did. Let's go to the trenches, man. The story of the offseason. How'd the offensive line look? How did they look in these, like, live game scenarios?
Here's what I love about live game scenarios. And like we say back in Mississippi in the country.
Uh-oh.
No.
Well, I wish I could end the sentence there. Wow. But he said, like we said. Oh, there he is.
Excuse me one second. I'll say it again. Like we say back in Mississippi, the bullshit stops when the tailgate drops. And when you have these live action scrimmages, when you're letting the dogs off the back of the truck to go hunting, only the dogs are going to jump off and go into the woods. You saw some nice hits out there. You saw some guys playing. But more importantly for me, Jake, when it gets into football time, that's why I love having officials out there. It's one thing to rough and tough and tumble each other up, but are you doing it within the confines of the rules? We had one of the most penalized teams in college football, particularly pre-snap, and it was killing our drives, and it was taking us out of field goal range. And it's something that it showed in the scrimmage, as talented as we are individually. We had 10 penalties on offense, 5 on defense in the scrimmage, and of the 10 penalties on offense, 8 were on the offensive line.
Still need work, it sounds like, then.
Definitely still needs work.
Exactly. Loads of talent, man, has been completely upgraded. I have no doubt they're going to rise to the occasion. Have no doubt we're going to perform and give Shador Sanders a clean pocket. But I love to see what was typically would have been gotten away with in practice was called a hold, you know, in a scrimmage, or was called a false start in a scrimmage. Even on a regular practice, you let the play go on. And so to see them have to narrow it in, hey, man, it's not just about my physical prowess. I got to play the mental game as well. I love the calls that the officials were making out there because I think it got their attention.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that the coaches probably love to see is just like, hey, don't get comfortable. Don't get, you know, overconfident here. We are still a long ways away. At the same time, I always think in these situations about where they were on, you know, April 15th of last year at this time in terms of bringing that offensive line together and figuring out who's going to be out there and, you know, actually having the players on campus. So
great point, RK, because I guarantee you the first scrimmage last year, if you had 10 penalties this year on the offense, you had 30 last year on the offense. So the arrow is still absolutely pointing up, but I think it was a teachable moment, as Barack Obama would call it, where we can get some guys' attention and make sure they're focused.
Also, I want our official slogan of our tailgate this year to be the bullshit stops when the tailgate drops.
I love that.
I done seen a bunch of dogs in McGee, Mississippi not jump off the back of that truck. They didn't want them in the woods.
We saw the one penalty with Tyler Brown, like they called an ineligible man downfield, and even that felt ticky tacky. But this is the time, you know, where you want to see them, those calls, and they're like, the refs are watching the offensive line and all these guys a little bit closer than they would, because you want to refine these things going into the game. What can you tell us about the defensive side of the ball, though? Defensive trenches.
They played well, you know. Again, on the defense overall side of the ball, only five penalties were called, and three of those were, I think, in the secondary. Defensive line played well, stopped some crucial run plays. I think we still have some work to do in the red zone on the defense. But as Robert Livingston would tell you, it's a two-word factor, man. It's Travis Hunter. Like, when the offense gets down in the red zone and the ones are out there, you know, Travis Hunter's just doing his thing, whether it's the pylon, whether it's a slant, you know, you name it, he's making it happen. So it's really sharpening the defense, if anything. But I love the way the defense performed. I like the way that they are grasping the installs, because Coach Livingston has really just done different from last year. This is not about his scheme. It's about the players we have, putting them in the best position to be stellar at what they do. And you saw them out there comfortable. You saw them out there flying around. And you saw the defensive line, you know, holding up, stopping the run. And you also saw them get back there in what, in a game scenario, would have been a sack or two.
Love to hear that. Now that you kind of have the picture of, you know, a game simulation in front of you, it's just more information to kind of add to the Rolodex that you build over spring ball. But as you look out there with this portal opening now, what positions do you think are going to be kind of the top targets?
Top targets, I don't think the priority has changed, RK. Great question. We left, you know, Washington State last year saying we got to upgrade the offensive line, we got to upgrade the defensive line. I think you have checked those boxes, but now it's time to go add depth. I think that you're going to look for two or three O-line to come in and two or three D-line to come in as well. I think there's still going to be emphasis on maybe one linebacker, an impactful linebacker to come in, as well as a someone who can challenge Staub for QB2 and challenge Staub for the future, not just this season, for the future. So I'm saying two O-line, two D-line, one linebacker, and a backup quarterback away from having your bases covered.
Love it.
Awesome. I want to ask you about, you know, Coach Sapp first, but man, we had Mark Schlereth and Coach Mooch out there too. Someone just had a comment. Coach Sapp is like a passion volcano on the field when he's out there coaching. What was he like out there in that scrimmage on Saturday?
Man, all over the place. You know, as I said to you guys before, as he says about himself, you're going to hear him before you see him. And I don't care what end of the field we were on, you could hear Warren Sapp coaching and being engaged. There were a couple times that the head coach, Coach Prime Deion Sanders, had to say, "Coach Sapp, get off the field. Like, this is a scrimmage. Like, you're on the field." Because he was engaged, man. And when they do what's called group teaching between sessions, what he was imparting on the defensive line and defensive players about hand placement. We got a video up, we put up this morning on the pregame show YouTube, that shows him really interacting and teaching some players one-on-one. And I mean, he looks like it's Taekwondo or Judo or something. His energy, the way the light bulb goes off in their head when he's coaching them individually and collectively, I love what Sapp is doing and the intensity he's bringing. It's just like Coach Prime said, we just got to remember that he's not playing. He's got to stay off the field.
Got a little message here from our guy Cam. He said, "Uncle Neely, the GOAT, tapped in." How'd Cam look out there?
Man, Cam looked great, man. You know, and I ain't saying it because he just made a comment. Cam is a dog. Cam plays with a chip on his shoulder. Not to bring up, you know, some old news, but you remember last year when we got together, we were picking starters, and you two voted against Cam. That lit a fire in his ass.
Man, I
hope y'all vote against him this year, because it's going to light another fire in his ass. Cam Selman Craig is a dog who plays with a chip on his shoulder. He plays, you know, with heart and passion, and people don't appreciate how cerebral Cam is with the game. You know, they talk about a Trevor Woods who moved down to linebacker and his football IQ, or Shiloh's football IQ. No drop off with Cam, man. That dude knows the game. He knows where his position is supposed to be and all the people below him, as far as the linebackers in the D line, where they're supposed to be. And you really just can't replace his energy. He is a football player.
I love it. Two things. One, we're breaking a rule. We're not allowed to talk about Cam on the show. He specifically requested. He said that's why he stopped getting interceptions last year, because everyone was talking about him. So quarterbacks got scared to throw his way. So That'll be the last Cam talk for a while. Also, I made him my starter at all 22 positions.
I love it. Cam's a good dude, man. He didn't take it the wrong way. He you know, he's one of those guys, even in the swag, he didn't make first team. And we got toward the end of the season and then got to the swag championship, and he makes a big plays interception. He looked right at the camera and said, "Hey, remember y'all didn't vote for me first team? That's what you get. Like, I'm going to show you what happens when you undercount me, discount me, or don't have me on your list." So he feeds off that kind of stuff, man.
I love it. Yeah, Cam's a dog. We all know that. Coach Mooch and Mark Schlereth. The speech that Mark Schlereth gave to the team before the scrimmage was one of the best I've heard, I think, since Coach Prime has been in Boulder. Just talking about, you know, his enjoyment of his playing career and how it's a brotherhood and how playing this game is really a blessing and how you can pass that blessing on between teammates and so forth. Go back and listen to that speech. But what was it like having those guys out there?
Man, let me start with the speech first. I sit between the linebackers and the running backs. I sit on row 4, seat 11. It's like pretty much dead center. And I'm trying to film Mark's speech, but also I get so caught up in listening to it. At one point, I'm probably feeling filming the ceiling or the back of Travis Hunter's head because I forgot I had a job to do, and I was like just drawn in by the speech. But for him to talk about having a teammate that believed in him, and he later was able to return that favor, and, you know, always being ready for your opportunity, even when you're being counted out, you know, you can still be counted on. I thought that just set the tone for the day. To have Coach Mooch there, who has been a Power 5 head coach, two NFL teams, been a quarterback coach to Brett Favre in Green Bay, having their presence there during the practice. Mooch even put on the headset for a little while and called a couple of plays with Shermer. Like, they were engaged, man. You know, they're not allowed to do direct coaching as far as out there on the field or working with players, but having their presence in the building, conversations that they could have at lunch or breakfast or speaking to the team, you can't replace it. It's just another example of friends of Coach Prime who come support what he's doing, and when they come, they're able to pour into these young people as well. You just can't even calculate the impact that has, man. You got two Hall of Famers in the building at all times, and you got people like Mark and Mooch showing up on a Saturday scrimmage. Unbelievable.
Truly one of a kind stuff.
Yeah, it's special up there, man. You can feel it. I mean, I've been up there, of course. We've all been up there, but you can feel it through the screen, specifically in those videos from Saturday's scrimmage, just the passion that these guys bring in, the passion that Coach Prime commands from his coaching staff and his players. It's just really special up there.
Yeah, I think people lose track of that, Jake. I hinted to it earlier. But Coach Prime, he will stop practice and get on the coaches. You know, we had a couple of substitution errors or lapses on defense, and Coach Prime called the timeout and huddled the defensive coaches up, not the players, but the coaches. Like, he is fully engaged and expects high level from everybody out there on the field. I don't care if you're a trainer, equipment staff, all the way up to defensive coordinator. When he sees something he doesn't like, he coaches it. He coaches it and coaches it out of you.
Awesome, man.
That's great, man. Anything else from the scrimmage that you want to share with the people?
No, you know, I know I see you guys at practice this week for our after practice updates, and I'm sure we have another scrimmage coming up this Saturday as well. And Jake, just know that no matter how factual RK was, I forgive you, bro.
No ill intent, Neely. I love you. You're my guy.
I love y'all too, man. Check y'all Tuesday, I guess. I'll see you.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, see you then. Love you, brother.
All right, bro.
See you, man. And there he goes. Shout out to Jack Crawford. Showed up in the comments. Shout out to Cam, too.
Yes, love to see it. Also, great comment here from Wayne. 1,300 watching, 218 likes. What is wrong with that picture? Hit the like.
The like button.
Uncle Neely just dropped some serious knowledge here. We got some fun topics the rest of the day. So hit the like, of course. Subscribe, as always. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we'll stay on the scrimmage here a little bit, man. This team looks so much better than this time last. It's honestly not even comparable, top to bottom.
Night and day. I mean, man, we were out at a couple practices actually last spring, and it was choppy, you know.
Yeah.
There was very obvious standouts. Shador, you knew from day one. Travis, you knew from day one. There's some other guys in there that you're like, okay, these guys can go. Now, this looks like a football team.
Mm-hmm.
A true, like, top to bottom football team is out there competing. And it's great to see. And also just really important for the others. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're going to have some kind of bad matchups. I remember there's a video out there of Travis like completely leaving someone's shoes and ankles on the ground that probably didn't belong trying to tackle Travis. Last year you had, you know, walk-on corners getting burnt by Travis in practice, and it's like, okay, like now you're getting real high-level matchups for these mm-hmm. guys. And everyone said it a million times, but iron sharpens iron.
Definitely. Shador looked fantastic. I wish we had the video of that touchdown pass where everyone going, ooh, and awe after, but all the cameras just kind of move around. Darius is like behind some guy on that play and something, but sounds like he was locked in. Staub had some plays too. Yeah. So, man, everything just looks so much better.
Yeah, and happy for Staub. You know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but it feels like he's got a pretty good lead on the QB2 competition right now. Mm-hmm. Unk mentioned it. They might bring someone else in to compete with him, but this is a guy who went out there, got to play a little bit last year, and is now building on it.
All right. The portal, again, I'm still not sure if the portal's open today or tomorrow. I keep seeing it both ways.
I think it's tomorrow.
I think it's tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
But the portal's already getting off to a hot start. We're going to touch on that and much more. A lot of recruiting stuff today, too. You want to tell the people about your wonderful Toyota?
Love my Toyota. Best car I've ever had by far. Next time I buy a car, won't even be a question. I'll be getting a Toyota. It's so, I don't know. You know how the first time you got an iPhone?
Yeah.
And you're just like, this just feels better.
Yep.
That's exactly how I feel about my Toyota. The first time I got behind the wheel and just even all the interfaces and everything you use on the car is just like, ah, this feels so smooth. It feels so clean. It feels so easy. That's why I love my Toyota. But I've said it before. I'll say it again. Never had an issue with it in many years. It's a great, great car, great company. And they support us now, which is really, really cool as we come to you here from the Toyota Lounge. But visit your Front Range Toyota stores at a location near you. AutoNation Toyota, Arapahoe in Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Groove Toyota in Littleton, Mountain States Toyota in Denver, Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora, Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Toyota is a proud partner of CU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. Shout out Toyota.
Also, shout out to our friends over at Bet365. Right now, you can place a bet of $5 or more and get $150 in bonus bets when you sign up with a new account. I love Bet365. They are my favorite book to bet on during football season. Their early money line payouts have made me quite a bit of money. But it's also playoff season now for the NBA and NHL. If you want to bet on Bet365. You must be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm super excited for this finals run. I've got a few Nuggets futures that I'm really crossing my fingers on.
I love it. Got the 2 seed, might get the Lakers round one.
I love it.
It's gonna get spicy. Cannot in the chat.
Wait. Cannot wait.
I can't wait either. It's gonna be great. What a great time. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Weather just turned up. Everything. Look, we're entering in the glory days.
I'm a football guy. The falls are my favorite time of year for that reason, but this is pretty tough to beat right now. Beautiful. Absolutely. 75 degree day in Denver today too.
So great.
It's awesome.
For finally tapped into outdoor drink season this weekend.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better. I actually put the people on to my favorite spot.
I saw. Thank you for that.
Yep. City Park Golf Course, best sunset drink in Denver. And you don't have to pay like a big premium. I think my beer was like $6.
Nice.
You know, of course, had to get a Coors Light. Mm-hmm. And just enjoy the views. Beautiful place.
Yeah, this weekend was awesome. All right, let's get to the portal, man. It's that time of year, guys. Do we want to start with... Let's just start with this. Chaz Wallace has entered the portal.
Yes.
Miles Slusher declared his intent to enter the portal on Friday or Thursday. It's starting, and I think this is... Just look at the players who have entered the portal here. I think they're guys at crowded positions who have realized that through one way or another, whether it's injuries in Miles Slusher's case or Chaz Wallace, where the room just got more packed, that's the kind of attrition I think we're going to see. I don't think we're expecting any big surprises. You never know in this time of year, but Chaz Wallace kind of starting the the entries.
Yep. As always, we wish him the best.
Mm-hmm.
We thank him for joining the movement when he did.
Yep.
And, you know, you're right. It does go back to my golf ball visual.
Yes.
Of just every portal period, you just fill in some of the gaps. You mm-hmm. make, you fill, you know, the fishbowl a little bit higher with more and more talent, and you upgrade the average talent on the roster in terms of, yes. you know, if every player had a Madden rating, your goal is by the end of each portal period to raise the team rating.
Yes.
And that's what they've done with 100% accuracy so mm-hmm. far, meaning every single period has gone by, this team got stronger and better. And you're going to see that this time. And I got to say, like, buckle up. This one's going to be fun.
Going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's get into it. I got six targets here, six guys who have already popped on at least my radar. Some have already been offered. Some are coming to visit already. We start with Philip Bleedy, former Indiana defensive lineman, 6'3", 295, a senior. He actually went to Portales, New Mexico High School. How about that?
That means something to you, apparently.
Portales is a... You got to have something to get out of there, bro.
Makes me think of Portillo's, which makes me hungry.
I'm hungry, too. But let's stay on topic. We can't get too distracted. Last year, played in all 12 games, started in 11, 30 total tackles, 4 TFLs, no sacks, 1 pass defensed. Again, you know, you lose a Chaz Wallace, a guy like this, that's just a higher level of depth. Even if Philip Bleedy isn't a starter, you've got another rotational guy who's proven at the Big Ten level that he can at least contribute to a defense.
Definitely. Certainly would be an upgrade to the, you know, the overall talent.
For sure. He was a 3-star coming out of high school in 2020. I think he originally committed to Texas Tech, then eventually found his way to Indiana. Rated a 3-star transfer, according to 247 Sports. Next guy, Andrew Chambly.
That's the lead in Dune, right?
Sure.
Okay.
this guy, though... 6'7", 305.
Yeah.
Was a 2022 4-star recruit, was the second overall recruit out of Arkansas, committed to the Razorbacks, I think played in 8 games last year, if I remember right. But you look, the offensive line isn't done yet. We've Absolutely. Told you guys this for a while now. And it sounds like he is interested in a visit. Pete Thamel of ESPN tweeted out he's expected to visit Colorado sometime in the near future.
Weirdly enough, no relevance to this, but I just drafted him in Madden this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his overall?
Not good. Okay. But it was like a 4th-round pick.
There you go. Wow, you must be in 25, 26?
Yeah, Dylan Edwards got drafted in the 2nd round.
Oh, my God.
He went for over 300 all-purpose yards in his rookie debut, and now I'm trying to trade for him. We'll keep you updated.
As you should have known that Dylan Edwards' first game was just going to be fireworks.
I didn't have picks. I traded my picks.
Damn.
You know.
Next guy, Jermaine Lole from Long Beach, California, a 2018 recruit. This guy is a grown man. Went to Arizona State, or originally committed to Arizona State, entered the portal in May 22, transferred to Louisville. Was hurt in 2022, only played in 1 game, suffered a season-ending injury last year, played in all 12 games, 19 total tackles, 5 TFLs, 1.5 sacks, 2 passes defensed, and 1 forced fumble. This man is 3'10", 6'3". 1 year of eligibility.
Yes, please.
Sounds like the perfect fit for this yep. team. Next guy, Rayan Buell. This is a defensive lineman out of Ohio. Was a JUCO recruit in 2022, a 3-star JUCO kid out of Northwest Mississippi Community College. Made his way to Ohio in 22. That's when he was a JUCO transfer. He is a graduate student. He's got 1 year left. Last year, 13 games played, 30 total tackles, 12.5 TFLs, 4.5 sacks. This is just a player who keeps on progressing levels. Was at the community college level, went to Ohio. Now it feels like he's ready for the Power 4.
Yeah, Power 4.
Sure. I don't know what we call it now.
We're calling it Power Four.
It sounds weird, though.
It does.
But sounds like he's ready for that level.
Yep.
Next guy. Just entered today, or stated his intent to enter today. Peyton Kirkland. 2023 four-star recruit. Out of Orlando, Florida. 6'5", 360 on the offensive line. Was listed at 6'6", 366 when at Texas. Did not see action last year as a true freshman, or as a redshirt freshman, sorry. But was highly, highly recruited coming out. So we'll see.
All right.
Final guy I've got so far, Brian Massey. Safety out of SMU, 5'11", 188. Graduate student out of Katy, Texas. Was a 2020 recruit, ranked a three-star. Has been playing at SMU since 2020. And this guy just seems like an all-around weapon. Last year for the Mustangs, 11 games played. Those are scoring stats. I don't need those. He had 30 total tackles. He had one TFL, one forced fumble, and then production on the ball. He did not have a pick last year. But this guy also, as a kick returner, in 11 games last year, he only had two attempts, but he has two career touchdowns in the kick return game, both of them coming in 2021.
Nice. Yeah, very early stages. I would assume the big news comes out between tomorrow and the end of the week in terms of big names entering the portal.
Definitely. We'll start to get some visit confirmations too, I'm sure, for the spring game and before and after also. But that's where we're at right now. Of course, the running backs, Damian Martinez in the portal too. And then let me find the name of this Georgia kid. Maybe the chat can tell me before I even get to him. But this kid visited Colorado as a recruit back in the day, 2021.
Really? Georgia Bulldog transfer?
Yes.
What position?
Running back. Okay. Andrew Paul.
Ah.
So he tore his ACL his freshman season in 2022. Trying to get more info on him here. I'm pretty sure he's a young kid. 2021 recruit. So he would be a redshirt freshman. Yeah, only has 29 carries for 129 yards and one touchdown in his career so far.
All right. Yeah, it's always interesting with these players with knee injuries. Remember last year, Trey Sanders was very interested in coming to Colorado, tweeted at Coach Prime. And I think Coach Prime said something like along the lines of like they just didn't have any scholarships left or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up playing really well for TCU last year. So you never know how these guys are going to come back from these injuries. Some struggle for a long time. Some bounce right back. And, you know, I don't think anyone quite goes Adrian Peterson on it. But, you know, a lot of guys can bounce back quicker and can be impact players again.
Definitely. That's all I got for you all so far. Just stay tuned, man. It's going to get even crazier as we progress through this week into next week, really the next month or so. Follow the beat at DMVR underscore buffs. Follow me at Jake DMVR to stay up to date with everything transfer portal and Colorado related moving forward here.
And follow me if you want.
And
bad
follow
jokes
RK, of
and
course.
Memes.
Everyone already follows you though, bro.
That's not true. Only 40,000.4 people.
Kenyon mentioned the Cale Hill Green. That's the former UCF linebacker too. I've heard good things about him as well. He was up there on that like PFF like highest graded linebackers list, the one that Jalen Wester was at the top of.
Yeah,
he's in that top 10 also.
It's very close to N'Keal Webb Walker.
I know. Yeah.
And then you got N'Keal Walker Alexander in the NBA.
Yes,
I think. N'Keal Roby Coleman, is that a thing?
Wasn't it Nickel? Was his name Nickel?
N'Keal.
N'Keal, I think it was, yeah.
Now my brain is in a pretzel.
All right. Shout out Coors Light. Do you want to shout out Coors Light?
Why would I not want to shout out Coors Light? I mean, What are you trying to do when you're having a drink?
Chill.
Yeah, you're trying to chill. And this is the only beer that's made to chill. It's brewed cold, packaged cold, shipped cold. It's always cold. And the best part is it lets you know when it's cold. There's nothing worse than when you're thinking like, man, I could go for an ice cold beer on the patio right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the patio and you open it up and it's only like fridge cold, not ice cold.
Yeah, 5 minutes go by and you can feel it's like the can's not cold and stuff.
Yep. But Coors Light has solved that problem by saying, don't drink it until the mountains are blue, because when the mountains are blue, that means it's time for you to go and have that drink and it's cold enough for you. So our friends over at Coors Light have been an awesome supporter of us so far. And what's better than supporting DNVR and drinking an all-time great beer? Hit up our friends at Coors Light and go to CoorsLight.com/DNVR and you can have it delivered right to your door.
Yes, sir.
Amazing.
All right. Also, shout out to our friends, the American Raptors at Infinity Park. I love the great game of rugby. I think more people need to learn about it, including you.
I know about it, bro.
Do you watch?
If it's presented to
some
me.
Some rugby sevens? You into that? Rugby World Cup?
I am a little bit confused on the different types of rugby. I'll admit that.
All right. Well, luckily for you, we've got the DNVR Rugby Podcast hosted by a guy, Colton Strickler. Check that out. But Colton gets the best people just around the world of rugby on his show all the time. And you can go hang out with Colton and the rest of the American Raptors at Infinity Park. Come celebrate Colorado Day at Infinity Park this Sunday, April 21st. As the American Raptors square off against Pampas. Arrive early to grab your free American Raptors Colorado keychain at the gate. Interact with mascots from local college and professional sports teams and indulge in delicious Colorado-themed food from our on-site food trucks. Kickoff is set for 3 p.m. Tickets are only $10 and kids 12 and under are free.
I'm going with Pampas.
There you go.
You gotta get a little accent in there.
Spend a fun afternoon in Rugby Town USA and cheer on the American Raptors as we celebrate all things Colorado.
Love it.
All righty. Put your questions in the Toyota chat. We will get to them.
You can start Kamada's question for later, too.
Right after this segment. You wanted to talk about Shador and Travis and Coach Prime's words about his draft stock.
Again. Okay, so I don't know why this is remaking the rounds again, but Coach Prime was on $1 million worth of game.
Uh-huh.
Like in March, late March.
This was, a few weeks ago.
And, it was during the book tour.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, they're talking about when Shador and Travis are going to get drafted. And he says, one of them's going to go one. And the other one isn't falling further than four.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start talking about fit. And he talks about, they might not go one and four, but if they don't, it's because I'm not down with them going everywhere. And they kind of get rolling a little bit. And then, Gilliar Wallow says something along the lines of, man, we want Shiloh and Philly. And he's like, Philly would be a great fit. And then they're rattling off some names. And Coach Prime just rattles off the names of teams that he played for. Like, I like it here. I liked it there. I liked it here. I liked it there. Now what you have is these aggregator accounts taking that quote, which again, at no point did he say, these are the only teams I would approve them playing for. He just named off some teams that he likes.
Right.
They're taking those and saying, Coach Prime says the only teams that Travis or Shador will play for are the Eagles, which again, he never said anything about the Eagles about Travis or Shador. He's talking about Shiloh,
mm-hmm.
Which again, whatever. Then he names off the team, Ravens, Commanders, Cowboys, whatever it may be. But I feel like we need media literacy class in middle school for people now, because people just get so fooled. And even the way that these aggregator accounts are doing it, they're not saying only, but they're phrasing it in a way to make it the reader think these are the only teams that Coach Prime would allow these players to. And then everyone's freaking out. Why don't they play the season and win some games before they start talking about the only teams they're willing to go to? And it's just like, guys, just because ML Football tweeted something out doesn't mean we need to put it on every blog and then every other aggregator account tweets it. And then everyone starts buying into this bullshit.
Those are the worst accounts on Twitter. The absolute worst.
Yes.
I'd even put them below the bots at this point. because all they do is recycle news. They dig up these headlines like this and just kind of blow things up when they realize they're out of the news cycle.
Yes.
And it's annoying. It's not real news. They're not real journalists, or I don't even know, just like figures in the like sports world. Like, I know Ari Marov, he went and like transitioned to becoming like a real like podcaster and stuff. And credit to him. Like, that's actually doing the thing. But when you sit on Twitter and you're just regurgitating the same information over and over and over, just trying to look for engagement just so you get a bigger check from Twitter for your revenue share.
Yeah.
It's annoying, and people need to be more aware of it.
Yeah, it really, really sucks, and it drives me crazy. And I don't know what's going on today, but like, I've gotten multiple DMs from like friends and stuff being like, wow, this is crazy. Coach Prime wouldn't let Shador play for the Broncos. And it's like, he didn't say that. Yes. Like, now I gotta like teach everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice would just be, and I think the community here is pretty good at knowing what's true and what's bullshit when it comes to Coach Prime, because they actually watch the content, so they know where the context is coming from and they've seen it in its full context. But for everyone, when you see stuff coming out from these aggregator accounts, is what I'll call them, you got to take it with a grain of salt and look for the source. And you'll notice they never link the source.
No, of course not.
Once in a while, you know, this one said like source, New York Post. You go look for it. You Google Coach Prime New York Post. Well, the New York Post just referenced the interview and pulled the quotes and arranged them in a way that fit the headline that they wanted to cook up. So just take things with a grain of salt, and before, you know, panicking about them or reacting to them in one way or another, make sure you find out where it came from and what the context around it is.
Definitely, man. Last thing I'll add to this too is when it comes to, you know, these guys' draft destinations this time next year and stuff, I'm sure Coach Prime, he's not like narrowing down his list right now. It's going to be a matter of, okay, who's in the top five? Who would we rule out in this range, basically? I don't think they're approaching the draft already as just like, no, these teams we're not going to go. And I'm sure there are some teams actually, you know, who have bad ownership, who are known for that, who are probably already, for lack of a better term, blacklisted by them. Yeah. But I think a lot of it is just going to depend on how the NFL draft order works out this time next year. And then they'll take destinations into account, and ideal destinations will be, you know, put into higher favor.
Yeah, and I don't know this for sure. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to Coach Prime about it. But like, I doubt that he would put out a list of the only teams that he would be willing to let those players go to.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be the other way around. And it'd probably be like, if one team, let's just say the Panthers. I'm going to bring up the Panthers because the Panthers ownership has been highly called into question so far. I know Bryce Young's people aren't happy about it there. Let's just say they have the number one overall pick, which isn't too big of a stretch to think it could happen. Mm-hmm. I could see them coming out and saying, we're not going to Carolina.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I wouldn't foresee seeing, these are the three places we're going. Don't even bother if you're any of the 29 other NFL teams. Like, mm-hmm. that's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right, a few more things to hit before we get out of here. We'll get to recruiting, but shout out KJ Simpson, man. Entering the NBA draft, he said this on Friday. We had Unkier on Friday, and we were obviously talking about the scrimmage, so we didn't really get to this, but KJ Simpson's just a Buff legend. He really kind of, I think, showed his maturity and his growth this year in many ways, and especially when CU's backs were against the wall, kind of early March, late February, and then they went on that run to make the Pac-12 final and eventually make the NCAA tournament. So just shout out to him. Probably my favorite player I've covered from the basketball team so far.
Yeah, man, what a dog, what a Buff. All-time great Buff. Fun guy to talk to, just an all-around, everything you could ask for in a student athlete. Super happy for him, and I think he has a chance to, you know, go in that late first, early second area.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously be rooting for him wherever he goes.
Could you imagine if he came to the Nuggets?
It would be so sick.
It'd be unbelievable.
Nuggets need a backup point guard.
Yes, they do.
Pretty bad. I wish it would have been Derek White. Obviously, he's not backup anymore, but
yeah, he's kind of outplayed that, huh? All right, some recruiting stuff.
One quick note, because this is the only show here. Well, not the only. One of the only shows that covers college here at DNVR. Shout out to the DU Pioneers.
Yeah.
CU doesn't have a hockey team, so that's our unofficial hockey team.
Yep.
We ride for the DU Pioneers when it comes playoff time and Frozen Four time, and they won their 10th national championship, which was more than any other hockey team in college hockey. So congratulations to DU. What a program they have there.
No doubt. My uncle was texting me about that game.
Yeah.
Everyone was watching.
I saw everyone partying out right next to our spot, Saucy Southern.
Yep.
So, man, stoked for them. Really cool run. They beat two teams that were considered to be, like, heavy favorites to get there. So
that was on Saturday, right?
Yep.
Saturday was legendary with UFC and everything, too, man.
UFC, Masters.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, it was great.
The All UFC right. card was unreal.
Max Holloway with an all-timer, too.
Good Lord. I jumped out of my seat.
All right, let's get to recruiting here. Just a few headlines. We'll start with this. Trajan Odom just visited this last weekend. 247 Sports Composite four-star. 290th overall player in this class. 6'5", 275 from Weddington High School in Matthews, North Carolina. Very highly touted. He's also officially visited USC, Oregon, Ohio State, LSU, has unofficially visited Alabama, LSU, and Duke, and NC State. But he just wrapped up this last weekend. Seems like he had a good time. Alex Graham, 2025 four-star safety, 210th overall player, according to 247 Sport Composite, from IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, 6'1", 186.
All right.
He put CU in a top seven, I want to say about a month and a half ago. Had Oregon, Georgia, Utah, Penn State, Alabama, and Michigan. He announced today that he is going to be committing on April 26th, one day before the spring game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep an eye.
Last piece of news for today. Mantrez Walker. We've talked a lot about this guy. Now Steve Wiltfong has filed an official on-3 prediction for him.
Love to see it.
The Fong Bomb.
I like it.
That's how they're marketing it, too.
I like it. Good for them. Still would have gone with that Fong, the Fong, 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 but I can see why they didn't go that direction.
It's just weird saying on-3 next to his name now, though.
It is. It is a little weird, but he's not on the enemies list yet.
Steve Wiltfong's always been good in my book.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see how
Stevie
long he
Scoops,
stays that way.
That's what they call him.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Let's go to the Toyota chat and see what you guys are getting into today.
What a way to start off the chat. Shout out Toyota chat. Someone's got to ask where someone is every day.
I don't know, man. I saw him in the video on Saturday at the scrimmage. I don't know where. Okay.
There he is.
BP, any clues on weather for spring game?
I saw our friend Jimmy Searfoss put it out today. He said the current forecast, which is obviously what, 2 weeks away?
Two weeks away.
The current forecast is scheduling 73 degrees. We like that, but rain. We don't like that. Again, a lot of time for it to change, but so far so good. I'll take it over snow and 30 degrees any day.
Definitely.
Let's get to 500 likes, y'all.
Crush the like button. Also, subscribe to the podcast. And real quick, guys, we need your help. We need 5-star reviews. Whatever platform you're listening on, I know you're probably doing something listening to this show, driving or whatever. The second you get some free time, just go to your app, give us 5 stars. It helps us out a ton, and we greatly appreciate it.
Obviously talking to podcast listeners there. But also a reminder is always to subscribe to the channel on YouTube. That helps us as well. We're creeping up on 75,000 subscribers.
Yep.
We're on Plaque Watch.
We are. We're getting there.
Yep.
Also, to the YouTube viewers, just open up Spotify or Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review real quick. Mm-hmm. Be appreciated. You'll get it done in 10 seconds, I promise.
And press the little plus sign on Spotify.
Yes, yes.
Subscribe. Or Apple.
Astronaut, is BJ on campus today? I haven't seen anything.
I'd assume there's a few.
I don't know, though. I don't know.
It's right over his head.
I'm trying to look it up. What'd you say?
Nothing.
Okay. I don't know. Kingston Park University question. What are they not seeing in the QBs in-house to be still be looking for 5 stars?
No correlation, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah. Hold on here.
You're always looking for a 5-star at every position. So it's not, you know, you should be looking for a 5-star at every position. You have Travis Hunter, you should be looking for a 5-star corner. You have Shador Sanders, you should be looking for a 5-star quarterback. Obviously those guys need to be replaced this offseason, but no matter who you are or what position you're at, the staff is always going to be looking for high, high caliber talent, whether that's from the high school ranks or the transfer portal.
The 5 stars I think he's talking about, including Juju Lewis, are for like the heir to Shador, like this year or after this year, right?
Yep.
That's what Coach Prime's looking for there. When it comes to this year's quarterbacks in-house, I just don't think that the talent has been, I don't want to even say as advertised, it's just they're looking for someone to push Staub and to just generate more competition in that room, and I don't think they're getting what they thought they were getting at this point. So that's why, you know, Uncle Neely keep saying, you know, we're going to look at quarterback. So
I'll be interested to see what they can do in the transfer portal at quarterback. I would have to assume that it's got to be the single hardest position to recruit out of the portal, because it would seem as though especially the veteran players would be looking to play.
A lot have entered recently too.
Yeah.
There's an Arkansas quarterback that entered. There's a Wisconsin quarterback that's entered. There's quite a few. Trucking Cecil, how many more DBs do you think Colorado needs?
Very few.
I mean, needs, yeah, very few. I think they want at least one or two more just to round out cornerback depth specifically. Safety, I think we're... With how they moved around players and changing positions and stuff, I think we're okay at safety. But
yep.
Wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, UCF had a quarterback that just entered too. There's a lot of them.
Is it, oh God, who was the guy that was good when they were good? Mackenzie Milton. Is he still in college?
I don't think so. And he went to Florida State after.
And then I think he went another like Big 12 school after that.
Oh,
Oklahoma
Lord.
Or something.
What is he up to? He's an offensive analyst at Tennessee now.
Good for him.
So he's a...
Oh, because he played for Heupel.
Yep.
At UCF.
Yep. Genetra? Genetra. Do you guys know if Elijah Melendez came back for another visit?
Off
the top of my head, I do not know. I know he was at Michigan most recently. Let me see. I don't think we've talked about this guy for a minute. He committed to Miami in December. His 247 timeline doesn't show any buff stuff for a minute, though. RJ, what about Jermaine Wimpy? He is supposed to be a hidden gem in the transfer portal.
I'm hoping it's not pronounced Wimpy, just for his sake. This was one that Buffton Prime did a video about as a kind of hidden gem, super talented player. Have no idea if the staff has interest or what his situation is. But coming from the lower levels, looking for opportunity, and they made a video about kind of why CU should consider him.
From Tiffin.
So you'll probably see his name a lot in the chat.
Yeah, I don't know
much. There's about a this lot guy. That goes into recruiting in terms of everything. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Oh, yeah. Kamada. Has DNVR attempted to get Shiloh on the podcast? Can't do Shador and not Shiloh. Yes.
We have. Can you remember Shiloh doing a podcast? Did he do? I bet maybe Darius's.
I don't even think he's done Darius's.
I can't recall a time that Shiloh was on a podcast.
Neither can I.
Which is funny because it just seems like it's not his thing, which is totally cool. But at the same time, he would be incredible.
Yeah.
He's so good in these types of scenarios that it's like, man, I wish he wanted to do it, but can't ever blame a guy if he doesn't want to.
We will try again, but yeah. Eric, RK, I assume you saw it, but thoughts on the Masters concessions prices?
Yeah, that's been going around for years now.
Aren't they like super cheap?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Everything is cheap. They've never raised their prices. It's like the Costco hot dog just stays
fixed. The gold standard.
Yes. Stays fixed. Pretty cool thing that they could gouge you. Absolutely gouge you. And they don't. It's like $3 for a sandwich, you know, $4 for a beer. Everything's cheap. You got to respect it.
All right. And Sean, what's up, man? Haven't been on in a few days. Have y'all confirmed that you're having day one draft party at Breck Brew? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. NFL draft day one, Breckenridge Brewery Farmhouse.
Oh, that's perfect.
Get the dry rub hot wings.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, if you're coming into town for the spring game, and if you want to come hang out a few days earlier on that Thursday, we'll be at the Breck Farmhouse covering the draft. So come hang out.
Should be a good night. We got a big crew going down there to kind of rotate in and out on the show. So if you come down, you will be able to like hang out and talk with us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll both be there. All the Broncos guys, Dre will be there. And many more. On to Super Chats. Mr. Hillsman.
A standard Super Chat now, which we absolutely love to see.
Shout
out to all of the DNVR folks behind the scenes. Absolutely.
As always,
can't be said enough.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people make the wheels turn on this thing.
Definitely.
All the way from, you know, our CEO Brandon to all the different content creators who put their heads together, to all of the production staff, to the video crew, to
social.
The sales, to social. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts around here, and everyone works really hard, and we appreciate them all.
FPSD, what's up with the spring game not being sold out yet? Boulder, don't take what you have there for granted. Also support 5430. Any little bit helps get those dogs. Definitely.
Agree on both. I think that the weather has people hesitating a little bit from last year.
I mean, it is Colorado. These things do happen. It does snow later in the year than it usually does. But for it to happen twice in a year?
Oh, yeah, but I just mean like people...
2 years?
I assume we get a week out and the forecast looks good, the ticket sales will jump up right away.
Yeah.
Speaking of ticket sales, this is something I've been wanting to talk about. I have moved my season tickets.
To,
for the first time in my life, the west side of the stadium. So
on my side now. Let's go.
On your side. Obviously, last year there was the whole student section fiasco, and I had to go sit in the seats that I bought,
right?
Which I didn't mind, but Allie didn't like them. My sister and her husband were there too. They didn't like it. So I was like, all right, let's do it. I got with all my boys. We're like, let's upgrade. And once the upgrades came around for us, that side of the stadium was the only place that had availability. But the good part of this is... my first ever Buffs game that I went to, I saw on that side of the field. And then obviously whenever I was media, I saw it on that side of the field. But I think I'm trying to change the vibes up a little bit. Seen a lot of losses from the east side. Moving to the west. Western migration to strike gold.
You're going to be in enemy territory down there too.
We're on the other side though.
So more southwest. Okay. Southwest. Eric with the super chat. FYI, Dallas, San Francisco have quarterbacks on last year. Watch out for SS2.
Last year of their contract.
Yep.
Yep. I've been calling it. Shador to the Cowboys.
Purdy's going to get re-signed. But
a few people mentioned that Shiloh has done all the smoke with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. I remember some of the clips from that. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also apparently did $1 million worth of game.
Well, we're not hard to find either. So
we're also not Gillian Walla or Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce.
That's fair.
But we have our own thing.
We do. That's it.
That is it.
What a loaded show. We'll be back at practice tomorrow. Stay tuned for something very, very special later this week also.
So special.
That's all I got. You got anything?
I got nothing. Shout out to Neely for joining us and giving us the scrimmage lowdown. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs. We all silly like the mayor.